16 years ago, a freshman at CBC was at the Blue Building. It's not the Blue Roof Building anymore. It's where the Evangelical Free Church is. And he was working there in the foyer. And I stopped to engage him in conversation. And when I did, I was very impressed with just his willingness to serve however, wherever, his desire to jump in, his enthusiasm for the Lord, and his love for the Lord. And when I turned to walk away, I can remember it like it was yesterday, I felt in my heart that the Lord placed in my heart that someday he would work for me. When he graduated from Central Bible College, we offered Scott Obremski a job here at James River Assembly. For the last 13 years, he has served faithfully and effectively as a part of this staff. A few years ago, he married his wife, Jen, and together they have served and they have honored the Lord. They have served you. They have built the ministry and advanced the gospel in so many different ways. One of the things for which I am incredibly grateful is, in the Old Testament, there's this story of Moses in the book of Exodus, and when he holds his hands up, Joshua and the armies of Israel are winning. When his hands fall down to his side, they're losing. And so Aaron and Hur come alongside Moses, and they help him hold his hands up, and that has become a picture through the ages since of what it means to have people who will hold up the hands of the leader and help them that victory might be accomplished. One of the things that's been true about Scott and Jen is that Scott and Jen, regardless of their portfolio at the church, have been willing to serve with enthusiasm, with faithfulness, with joy, and have done anytime, anywhere, anything they could do to hold up Debbie in my hands. When we came back from sabbatical, the first week we were back, Scott said, "Hey, I'd really like to talk to you. Can I come out and visit with you?" And so he came out and told me that God had put it on their heart to plant a church in Kansas City, you know, leave the staff, that whole deal, which is just what you like to hear when you're coming back from sabbatical. I tried for about 20 minutes to talk him out of it. I painted a picture of the future of James River and his future with different portfolios, and talked to him about how I saw God using him in a wonderful way here. And after 20 minutes, it became clear that really, truly, God had called he and Jen to leave the comfort, to leave the safety, to leave the security of being in a place where they're highly respected and where God was using them in a powerful way, and to leave that aside and to step out in faith and to go to Kansas City and start a church. Literally, going without knowing. Scott said, "Listen, while we feel God has put this in our heart, John, you tell us how we can do this in a way that best serves James River and helps you." That says everything about this couple's heart. He stayed through Easter. Easter Sunday was his last Sunday on staff. They've since been making plans to move to Kansas City. They'll launch a church this fall. He's going to tell you more about that. But I love Scott and Jen. He's a winner. And I know God has great things in store for the Kansas City area and Lee's Summit. Would you join me in welcoming Scott Obremski to the pulpit?
Thank you so much. Sit down, sit down. You're gonna make me cry up here. Gonna be embarrassing, but I am so thankful. I'm so thankful for this church. This is home. This is home, and we love this place. And John and Debbie, we are so thankful for you. Jen and I can't express enough. Words cannot describe how much we appreciate you guys. Your godly leadership, faith-filled leadership, leadership that looks at the next generation, and believes and invests. Church, we are truly blessed here, aren't we? I think it's good that we honor our leaders today. You know, it's been such an amazing blessing to be a part of James River these last 16 and a half years. I mean, this place is amazing. This place is phenomenal. And yesterday as I was studying, I was walking around the church, I was praying, and I was just getting ready for the message today. I was walking through the different rooms, I was walking through the hallways, through the foyer, I walked through this altar, and I was recounting how many times I've seen people come to Christ, how many times I've seen people be in a class and they're getting discipled, how many times we've done an outreach, or how many times people have been baptized in this place. And I mean, you think about what happens here week after week after week, year after year after year. This place is amazing. This is an awesome church, and church, it is a blessing to be a part of this place. And I want to tell you that it's not an easy place for us to leave. It's not an easy place. And leaving a job like this, a great job, a job that we love, at a church we love, with people we love, is not easy. It's very challenging, and as I've thought about what it looks like, I've thought that the best analogy I can think of is that it's like swimming in the deep end of the pool. So today we're going to go swimming, and I think that's good because we've had some really nasty weather. So how many of you are ready for a little summertime talk today, okay? All right, turn to the person next to you, say, summer's coming, don't worry. It's just around the corner. I'll settle for spring, how about that, right? Pretty soon we'll be complaining about how hot it is. But I want to talk about swimming today. How many of you remember learning how to swim? How many of you remember that experience when you learned how to swim? Anybody? Maybe you're too young. How many of you remember teaching somebody how to swim? How many of you saw someone learn? How many of you seen someone swim? All right. Come on, help me here. Okay. Well, I remember we had a pool growing up, so I was too young to remember to learning how to swim. But my sisters and my cousins, I watched them swim, and now I'm walking my own kids through that swimming process. And basically, this is the progression that it has. You start in this little tube thing with the net. You put the baby in there, right, and the baby just kind of splashes around, and it's not really swimming, but it's getting used to the water. And then you put the life jacket around the toddler, and the toddler runs around, and if he falls into the pool, he's all right, because he's gonna float, right? He's gonna bob, even if he gets away from mom and dad. And then you graduate to the floaties, right? Huh? You know, love the floaties, the orange floaties, put them on the arms. Floaties, you can kind of flail your arms around, you feel like you're doing something, you feel like you're swimming a bit. And then you graduate to swimming in the shallow end without any flotation device. And then we all remember this, I'm almost sure. We all remember that time where we started swimming in the deep end, where we moved to the deep end, because the deep end is where you wanted to be, right? The deep end was cool. The deep end's where all the older, cool kids hung out. It's where the diving board was, right? You couldn't wait to get on the diving board and jump off and do a somersault and cannonball. But the deep end was a scary place. The deep end was scary because it was dark, it was cold, had that scary drain thing, it just like you just freaked out over. And the most scary thing about the deep end, though, I think, would be that you couldn't touch. So it wouldn't matter if it was 10 feet or 10,000 feet. When you're in the deep end, you can't touch, and it's kind of like this helpless feeling, right? And for Jen and I, in some ways, leaving this church to go plant a church feels like going to the deep end. It feels like we're going into the deep end. It's a total faith thing, and we can't touch the bottom. There's uncertainty. We don't have a church building. We don't have a congregation. We're leaving and we're going, and we can't touch. But before you get too sympathetic for us, it's important to remember that this is the walk of all Christianity. This is the walk for all Christians. God calls us all to live in the deep end. It starts at salvation. We come to faith. If you're a Christian in this place, you came to faith and you put your trust in Jesus. You believed in something really that's miraculous. God sending his son, living a perfect life, dying for our sins. It's a miracle, and it really takes a step of faith. So you take that step, but then it doesn't stop at salvation. God wants to continue to pull you into the deep end. And continually throughout our lives, he puts us in those moments where we can't touch. Well, we're past ourselves, we're past our resources. How many of you ever had a deep end moment? Maybe today you're having a deep end moment. Maybe you're finding yourself, as you come into this place, and you're saying, you know what, I'm in the midst of a situation and it overwhelms me and I can't touch and I'm way past my resources. How do we process that? How do we process those moments when we're past ourselves? I'd like to look at a passage today that really sums up what I would feel is a great illustration of life in the deep end. And if you have your Bibles today, it's found in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. But as you get ready to turn there, the context for this story is pretty amazing. Jesus has just found out that John the Baptist has been killed. And John the Baptist was one of his closest friends. And he knew John, and John had baptized him, and he was close to John. He was his second cousin. But more than that, John the Baptist was maybe among every person who was alive at that time. He was the only person who really got it. He understood who Jesus was, what Jesus was coming, to do. And he finds out that John is dead, and he's grieved over it. So he pulls away, undoubtedly to pray. He wants to get alone. He wants to just seek the Lord. He wants to process this. And as he's doing it, this crowd of people come, and they have their needs. And the Bible says that Jesus has compassion on them. He spends time. He takes all day. He's praying for their sick. He's working with them. He's ministering to them. And at the end of this day, they're hungry. And Jesus takes a few loaves and a few fish, and he feeds thousands and thousands of people. I mean, this is an amazing miracle. The disciples are like high-fiving each other, like, dude, did you just see that? Like, he just took loaves and like everybody's full. It's amazing. Like, it's like a roller coaster day. They go from grieving and now they're celebrating. And this is where we find our text for this morning, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. I mean, isn't this amazing? But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is an amazing passage. This is an amazing story. And there's so many things to pull from this. And literally, it would take us weeks to unpack all of the ramifications of this text. But for this morning, I want to look at three aspects of life in the deep end, I think, that we can see from this passage. And that if we'll apply to our lives, if we'll process, if we'll think through, it'll help us when we find ourselves in those deep end type of moments. The first aspect is that it starts with a setup. It starts with a setup. Life in the deep end starts with a setup. And going back to our text, remember the context. The disciples are completely exhausted from pouring their hearts out in ministry. And let's pick it up in verse 22. It says, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. I mean, it would have been okay maybe to process this great day that they just had. They've been grieving, and now they're celebrating, and maybe it might just be good to have a little disciple debrief, right? Like, come on, guys, let's huddle up. Let's talk through what just happened here. That was an amazing thing. Yay, that was awesome. But we don't see that. What does Jesus do? He sends them right into the middle of a storm. He sends them right into the middle of the storm. Disciples got to be thinking, like, what's up with this? Here we are, we poured our hearts out, we worked all day, and man, we just feel like our emotions are all over the place, and now he's sending us out into the middle of the storm. Jesus, what's the deal, man? We're your boys, we're the ones who's taking care of you. Where are you when we need you? What's happening here? What's Jesus doing? Why is he sending them into a storm? I want to suggest to you that Jesus is setting them up for a miracle. Jesus is setting them up for a miracle. Life in the deep end starts with a setup. I mean, if turning a few loaves and a few fish into a smorgasbord for thousands and thousands of people is cool, how cool is it going to be when God walks on water and invites them to be a part of it? God is setting them up. And you know what? Here's the thing you need to remember. God is always setting you up. God is setting you up today. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah that God knows the days that are lined out for us. Before we were in our mother's womb, He knew us. He knew everything about you. He knew who you were going to marry. He knew how many kids you were going to have. He knew what job you were going to have. And He's been ordering, He's been working, and He's been setting you up. You know, as Jen and I look back on our journey, as we look back on the journeys we're getting ready to plant this church, I can see how God has been setting me up. 17 years ago, I was a senior in high school, and my youth pastor told me, he's like, if you're going to go to Bible school, you get involved in a good church. And so he's like, there's this church, it's growing, it's doing well, it's called James River, you need to check it out. So we drove down, my parents and I drove down on a Friday. We moved their stuff into the dorm on Saturday, and we were in the front row of James River Sunday morning, and have been here ever since. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. It worked out. It was good advice from a youth pastor. So just listen to your youth pastor, all right? So here we are, and I've been involved. I go Sunday morning, and then I come Wednesday night, and I ask how I can get involved, and they say, you know what, college kid, you're probably going to flake out. You're probably going to just, you can start stacking chairs. And I'm like, all right. So I just stacked chairs after service for 3 months until Justin Smith, who was the worship, he's our JRLC recruitment director. He was the youth worship leader at the time. And he says, hey, dude, I heard you play guitar. Can you play bass? And I'm like, nah, not really, but I'll give it a shot. You know, I'll give it a shot. And so here he gives me the opportunity to play bass, and I start playing. I start just kind of hacking my way through the bass. And I look back on it, and at the time, I thought I was just getting involved with the worship team. I thought I was just signing up to be a part. But really, God was setting me up. God was setting me up. And then bass turned into guitar, and guitar turned into singing backup. And I look back at that, and during that season of time, we were at a retreat. It was a junior high retreat. And there was an evangelist who was ministering at the altar, and he was praying over people, and he was giving words to people. And we knew, we like, man, that guy is good. I mean, he's calling people out. He doesn't know them, but he is reading their mail. This guy is good. He knows what he's talking about. And so one of the points, he looks, and he starts walking towards Justin and I, and he starts saying, and you are going to lead worship for thousands of people. You are going to lead worship. God is going to use you. He is going to raise you up. And we all thought he was talking to Justin because he was the worship leader, and I'm the guitar player. But he throws Justin out of the way, and he starts walking towards me. And he says, and God is going to use you powerfully. And I'm like, I don't even see that. I don't even know that. I look back, and I just thought I was playing guitar and singing backup. But God was setting me up. You know, I started to lead worship more off of that word, basically, essentially. And ended up coming on staff, ended up leading Master's Commission, as Pastor said. And then four and a half years ago, I became the worship director here at James River. That came with all kinds of, I mean, that was a dream job. I mean, directing the worship department, it's fun. I mean, it is fun up here. I'm not going to lie, all right? It looks fun. It is. All right? And with it comes, I mean, just leading the productions. I mean, the impact that we have at this church every week is just such a blessing to be a part of. And so that is so enjoyable to be a part of it. But one of the things that comes with being the worship director is that you get to meet with Pastor John every week. Because the proximity of relationship is so important that we work together. And week after week, I'd go into Pastor's office, and he would just unpack leadership issues. He would explain his thoughts on something, or how he was leading, how he's navigating a leadership situation. And I mean, what better person to learn leadership from, right? And at the time, I just thought, man, this is such a great thing. And the church planning was the furthest thing from my mind. But I look back on it now, and I'm like, God, you are setting me up. You know, I want to tell you today, I want to encourage you, because you need to know that God is setting you up. Wherever you are in your situation, in your circumstance, God is setting you up. Maybe you're like the disciples, where you've just been in an incredibly busy season. You've just been pouring your heart out, and you feel like you just get thrown into a storm. You need to be encouraged, because God knows exactly where you are, and He's working, and He's setting you up for a miracle. Or maybe you've been doing your best to honor God, and you're just struggling. You just feel like you just can't get traction. You need to know God knows where you are. He's working, and He's setting you up. You might think that job or that promotion that you didn't get is the devil having his way in your life, and you didn't know that God is in control, and He's working. Listen, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, then your life and your storms are God and His work, and He's getting ready to do something amazing in your life. The second aspect of life in the deep end is that it overcomes fear. It overcomes fear. Verse 26 says, when the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. The disciples were terrified. I mean, Peter was one of these disciples who was terrified, and they were rightfully so, right? There's this storm, there's this wind, and here's this guy they've been hanging out with a little bit. He's been doing some cool stuff, some cool miracles, and he's walking to them. And they're just like, this is just weird. This doesn't make sense. We're freaked out of our minds here. And it would have been a lot to be afraid of. But Peter, we see Peter, he pushes past his fear. He gets over himself. He pushes past his fear, and he believes. You know, fear and faith are really polar opposites. Fear and faith are opposites, and faith is how we overcome our fears. Fear tells us that we can't do it, but faith says God can. Fear tells us that we're gonna fail. Faith tells us God won't let us drown. Fear tells us others will laugh. Faith says only God's opinion matters. But living by faith is difficult, isn't it? Let's just be honest. It's a little bit difficult. And I think this is going to be especially hard as we get older, because we've seen people fail. Maybe we've failed a little bit. We've got some scrapes. We've got some bruises. Like, man, as a young guy, I used to run in there. I used to do it. But now I'm going to make sure. I want to evaluate this a little bit. You know? And as we get wiser, we allow our fears to justify missing out on what God has for us. And fear is really, if you think about it, fear is all about us. Fear is about what I have and what I bring to the table. But faith is what God has and what God brings to the table. It leads me to the last aspect of living a life in the deep end. It takes a step. It takes a step. Let's look at verse 28. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. I just love how simple Matthew makes this sound. I mean, it's pretty amazing. He just got out of the boat and walked on the water. I mean, this is amazing. But it takes a step. You know, and so much of this stems, I believe, from Peter having this understanding that being where Jesus is always best. That it's always better to be where Jesus is. And so much of seeing God do something great in our lives is hinged on being aware of what God is doing and then doing that. We talk about it so often here at James River. We quote Proverbs 29:18 in the Message, where it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. I think all of us would want to say, you know what? I want to be where God is. I want to be involved with what God's doing. I want to be blessed. I mean, who in this place is going to say, I don't want to be blessed? We all want to be blessed. But in order to be blessed, it starts by moving towards Jesus. It starts by taking a step and moving in God's direction, even in the middle of a storm. You know, I think if I was there in that boat, I might have got caught up with questions like, man, Jesus, what are you doing? Like, this is kind of weird, you know? This is just weird. I've never seen this. This is awkward. I'm feeling awkward right now, Jesus. Or what are the ramifications? But Peter isn't concerned with what. He's not concerned with why. He's concerned with who. He just wants to be with Jesus. And that's such a critical part of having the miraculous take place in our life. And because of that, he takes a step. He goes for it. I mean, can you just picture this with me? I mean, he's feeling this pull. He's feeling this urge. And he's in this boat. And it's rocking. I mean, it's going all over the place. And he gets to the edge of it. And he gets one leg over. And then he pulls that other leg over. And he just goes for it. He just goes. I mean, how amazing is this? He believes God, and the provision is there. I think it's interesting that we see that the provision comes after Peter's step of faith. I think a lot of times we want the provision to be all worked out, don't we? When God's speaking to us, we're okay, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, but I'm going to need you to order it all. I'm going to need you to make it real clear, and I'm going to need the stone pathway, and I'm going to need to know that it's all going to be all right. But God doesn't do that, does he? God doesn't do it because where's the dependence? Where's the deep end? Where are we reaching for Him? Where are we depending on Him? And that's always the point. The point is always to get us to that point where we're trusting Jesus. And it takes a step. And you know, you never can underestimate the importance of a step of faith. I want to tell you about the first time that I led worship. It was in junior high. And basically, to summarize it, you could just say it was a train wreck, okay? It was two trains heading towards each other and crashing into the Grand Canyon train wreck, okay? That's what it was. It was bad. It was really, really bad. But Scotty, based on that prophetic word, was like, man, I think you should do it. I think you should do it. And so I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to get up there. I'm going to do it. And I practiced in my dorm room, and I was just getting after it. And I'm like just hacking away, but I'm really, really trying to do this thing. And so I get ready, and I'm prayed, and I get up there. The first song is this old song. You might remember, This Is the Day That the Lord Has Made. And I'm like, this is it. This is. I can't find the pitch. I couldn't find the pitch if my life depended on it. It was horrible. So in the middle of the song, I have to stop, literally have to stop the song. And I'm like, okay, someone, I think maybe tuned my guitar wrong. We're going to start over. Come on, guys, do it again. Junior hires are forgiving, praise the Lord, you know? So, but then comes the slow song, you know, and we put all the songs in G, so that way if I could just find the pitch, I could hold on for the rest of the key. And so I'm down there, and Scotty's, he's on the front row. I can picture this like it was yesterday. And he's like, come on, man, you got this. And I am so nervous. I have everybody pray. I'm like, all right, everyone, just lift your hands. Close your eyes. Do not look at me right now. I am sweating to death. I mean, it's like, it's just bad. And so then I start to sing, and the song was Here's My Heart. And I'm like, I'm trying to find that pitch. Here. Lord, you're here. You are. You're here, Lord. Oh, Jesus. You need to be here. Oh, here am I. Here am I, Lord. I am yours. And then I look at Scott, and he's like, you got this. Come on, man. And I'm like, I do not have this. And so then I start to sing. Scotty sings, and he's got a good voice. He sings out, and he throws out the pitch, and I just grab onto the pitch, and I just hold it the whole set. And we got through it, praise the Lord. And hopefully we increased and we grew a little bit in our worship leading. You know, and the thing is, I look back on that moment, and I think, what if I wouldn't have taken that step when Scotty was asking me and when I felt like God was in it? What if I wouldn't have said yes to that? What if I would have said, you know what? I can't sing. I'm not talented. I don't have the giftings to do this. What if I would have let my fears overwhelm me? I would have missed out on so much. So many miracles, so many retreats, so many opportunities. Who knows if I would have come on staff? I certainly wouldn't have directed the worship department. I wouldn't have been meeting with Pastor John, and I most probably wouldn't be standing before you today. You can never underestimate the importance of taking a step of faith. Church, life in the deep end is always worth it, but it requires a step. For Peter, he's leaving this boat, and this boat is all that he knows. It's his security. It's his identity. It's been his livelihood for all that, probably his entire life. And he's leaving that boat, and he's saying, I'm leaving my security because I'm more interested in being where Jesus is than being where I am comfortable. And so, and really, that's for Jen and I, that's what this Kansas City Church plan is all about. I mean, we're leaving what's comfortable. I mean, our boat is James River Assembly, you know, and let's be honest, it's a huge boat. It's like an aircraft carrier, all right? And this place is all that I've known. It's home, it's safe, it's comfortable, it's familiar, it's family. And yet, I know in order to be where Jesus is calling us, we have to get out of the boat. You know, we don't know a lot of people there, but we know that God is calling us to Kansas City to help people who don't know God find life in Jesus Christ. Kansas City is a metro area of over 2 million people, and yet 1.5 million of those people are not going to a Jesus-centered church. That's 75%. 75%, can you imagine that? And it's right down the road. It's literally right down the road. And so our passion is to create a church that is in so many ways like what we have come to know and love about James River Assembly. We're going to have biblical, solid biblical teaching. We're going to have dynamic worship. We're going to have a great kids program. We're going to have a youth program. We're going to invest in the next generation. And we want to be warm and friendly to everyone, no matter where they come from. And it's where Jesus is. And it's requiring us to get out of the boat. You know, and it's, what's been really cool is that as we've announced Kansas City, there's been this overwhelming response of people who live in that area, and they're like, man, we want you to come to this. We're so excited because a church like that is going to do so well here. We want to attend. And I think one of the coolest things we've heard is my brother, my father, my sister, my friend, they don't know Jesus, but they would go to a church like that. We believe the need is huge, and the opportunity is clear for us, and we believe it's where Jesus is. And so the plan for us is we're gonna promote, we're gonna pray all this summer, we're gonna be getting together with the team and meeting, having launch team meetings. And then come fall, September, we're gonna launch. We're gonna launch this church, and there's nothing existing right now, but by faith, in Jesus' name, there's gonna be a church. And so many of you have asked, how can I be a part? How can I partner with you? And I wanna just point your attention to the card that was on your seat when you came in. And in the back of it, we talk about three ways to promote or three ways to partner with us and try to be cute, have the peace that go in there, all right? You can pray for us. Obviously, the Lord is the one who builds the church, so we covet your prayers. And honestly, truly, we need lots of prayer. The enemy doesn't want us to plant a church. But we need your prayers, and we need your support. So if you pray for us, God's going to go before us. Stick it in your Bible. Stick it on your fridge, if you would. And every time you see it, just pray, God, go before them. And then promote. If you promote us to your friends, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and give us people that you know in the Kansas City area. Pass us on to them. You can go to our website, summitparkchurch.com. People can sign up to be a part of the launch team. They can sign up to get emails, and then pack. Some of you, maybe God is stirring your hearts, or you feel like this is something that you could be a part of. You want to step out, and you want to do something. You want to leave a legacy for God. We'd love to have you partner with us. You know, and I think about all the people who aren't following Jesus in Kansas City right now. But in the name of Jesus, Lord willing, in 6 months, if there's a church there, they're going to get involved in small groups. They're going to experience life-giving ministry. And we're believing for many people to give their life to God, to find the hope of Jesus Christ. And we appreciate you as our sending church for partnering with us. Would you pray with me today? Father, we love you. And I just thank you for this privilege and the opportunity to be a part of James River. What an amazing place. And God, we just thank you for the deep end moments. As hard as they are, God, we know, Lord, that they are ordered of you. And God, I pray for anyone today who is in the midst of that deep end moment, God, where they're having to trust you. And God, I pray that you would show them your hope and your power and your provision, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's give Scott a round of applause. We want to do two things this morning. We want to take an offering for Scott and Jen. To start a church, to go into a place, to be able to fund their personal expenses, to fund the startup costs for the church, and to give it some funding for the first several months. Because, you know what, a lot of times people get saved before their pocketbook gets saved. So, you know, you can have people coming and not have the support there. We figure it will take approximately $250,000 to launch the church. Scott has put together a notebook. I mean, it's probably about this thick. It's got budget, supporting documents, all the different things. We've been working with them, and we're for them. To this point, Scott has raised $60,000 through the Association of Related Churches, ARC, and the Assemblies of God, giving them a $30,000 loan. They're going to have to pay that back, so it's not like that's money that they get to keep without repaying it. But we want to get behind them. We want to give them an offering. Let me say this. You know, I found this to be true in my life. I want to plant seed in good ground. I believe this is really, really good ground. So what you would do if you're writing a check, you'd make it out to James River Assembly and then just put Scott and Jen or Summit Park, or if you're using a gimmick envelope, put Scott and Jen, Summit Park, it'll all go to them. Or if in the coming weeks you think of them, you want to give an offering, you just put Scott and Jen, Summit Park, we'll get it to them. But I would like to ask Jen to come. We'll give you a chance to prepare your offering. I'm going to ask Jen to come, and we want to pray for this couple as Scott and Jen go with little Cruz and little Titus. This is a huge step of faith. Now, let me say this. We want to encourage you to be praying. We're going to be praying for them in the prayer meeting at different times. And I hope if you have family or you have friends that live up in the Kansas City area, especially if they live in the Lee Summit area, that you'll tell them about Scott and Jen, that you'll get them connected through the website and that. But let me just say this. There are some of you that are in transition in your life. And God has set it up for you to make a move to Lee Summit. Already we have 40 people committed to move with them. I'm looking at John and Heather, going to go, one of our worship leaders, and John served here at the church. So there's people getting ready to go, but our prayer is that there'd be a couple hundred people out of James River that would be up there, because to create the culture, you know the culture here, and that would be a huge help to Scott and Jen. So if you're like on the bubble of, man, I'm thinking maybe it's time for a new time, new place, boy, pack your bags. You are going to be a part of something incredibly, incredibly exciting that I believe is going, with the Lord's help, to reach thousands of people in the Kansas City area. Would you stand right now? And would you stretch out your hand towards Scott and Jen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Scott and Jen. I thank you, Lord, for the gift that they've been to James River Assembly. I thank you for their years of ministry and faithful service. And Lord, for the calling you've placed upon their life and their willingness to step out of the boat. And by faith, to follow you to Lee Summit and to the greater Kansas City area to plant a church, literally like Abraham, going without knowing. I pray, oh God, that you'd give them wisdom in the decisions that they make. I pray that you would open doors that no man can shut. I pray, oh God, that there would be a grace and an anointing on their lives and a favor of the Lord that would rest upon them, that you, oh God, would give them favor with people, circumstances, situations, to not only, Lord, draw people together for the building of the church, but all that that church will need in the way of a place to meet, ultimately property and all the things that would be a part of that. I pray, Lord, that they will bear much fruit that will remain, that, Lord, through them and through the ministry of Summit Park Church, there would be a dynamic church raised up in Lee Summit that would not only touch that city, would not only touch that region, that would not only touch this state, but would touch this country and the world. I pray, oh God, that you would do things so amazing, so supernatural, that when people hear of it, they'll say, that must be the Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you would bless them in a way that none of us can imagine. Lord, we ask it to the praise of your glory. Set your hand upon them. Strengthen them. Go before them. Let their house here in the area sell. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that it would sell and sell soon. I pray you'd give them a place in Kansas City, that you would prepare all of this and do all of this to help them, Lord. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, may they be blessed and be a blessing. Amen. Amen.